This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I am fired up for today because we have ourselves on the show talking about how to get top dollar in this current market.
The thing with this current market, Adam, is, and this is, we just recorded this. This is coming after the I feel like we had decent inflation numbers. I was feeling a little bit on top of the world.
I was optimistic.
I was, and then the Fed came and just smacked everybody down yesterday with that 0.75
I feel like this increase. It feels a little bit more ominous today, just generally, because it was kind of the no end in sight comment.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like it's been a bit of a roller coaster where the ups are maybe almost self-imposed, where you're like, I think that's good news. I think we're moving. Yeah. And then a scream down.
Yeah, it's a weird emotional roller coaster, but you know, nobody's running scared in this room for sure. And at the same time, you know, it's an interesting moment because in Vancouver we have such low inventory right now.
This is the thing, right? You have the macro environment that's wreaking havoc, but then you're not even submarkets, which we get into.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, the inventory is just so low. And it's always lackluster.
Yeah.
There's never been a great moment to buy real estate in, or it's always challenging, I should say,
yeah,
to buy real estate in Vancouver. And now is no different. So, it's definitely not all doom and gloom around here. And this is a ton of useful information, I think, for anyone considering selling a property now or in the near future.
We break this conversation down by talking a little bit about the market. Then we talk about preparation. We talk about strategy. And then we move into timeline about how to roll out a listing. And really, this is taken from our ideas and experience and countless listings
and
over the years.
And systems.
But we've had these systems in place that we've just been honing for years and years and years. And they work. And so what we're doing today is we're unpacking them, but we're making them a little bit more specific to today's market. And I think anyone that listens to this show is going to have a lot of takeaways, I would expect.
And if you're listening and you're like, hey, you know what, this is all great, but I'm on a treadmill. If you need help in any way or information in written form,
yes,
get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch or check out VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. But Matt, without further ado, let's cut to our conversation with ourselves.
Sounds good to me.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam. With 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds, Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Well,
Okay, Matt, so how to sell your property for top dollar in today's current market?
And this is the fall 2022. And
time it's stamped.
And you know what? Time stamped. And Adam, let's maybe before we even start, talk about why we're doing this.
Well, Matt, the market, I'm going to be the first to say this. The market has changed. The market is a little different. Here's the thing. When we've been talking over the course of, call it the last 2 years on this program, a little bit post-COVID, we've been talking about super aggressive sellers markets. Everything's selling, right? You put a house on the market, it sells. The biggest thing you had to consider when you were selling your house or condo or townhome was having a gifted agent who could extract as much money out of that potential sale, right? That was the most important question as a seller.
Are you going to get four offers or 14?
Exactly. And how do we do a strategy so that we don't leave money on the table? Now we're moving into a completely different market, Matt. And give me the sales ratios.
Well, let's talk about the most recent stats. August was 30% below the 10-year average for an August. And two things to note. One is we've been, you know, finagling stats over the course of COVID. Wow, compared to last August when it was a total lockdown, it's X. This is the 10-year average. So COVID plays a very minor role in this. We are well below the regular amount of sales in Vancouver in some of the slowest months. It is basically dead out there. There are slightly under two homes out of every 10 that are selling across the Vancouver region.
Yeah.
So to put that in seller's terms, you're coming to market. You can look around at 9 properties that are being listed near you and only 2 of you are going to succeed in the next month in selling.
It might be you, it might not. And really, and the other thing I'll say is, you know, a lot of people think of sales ratios or absorption rates, et cetera. What you have to realize here is that it is very market specific, but as a whole, the market has softened. There's a lot of buyers out there that are serious buyers, but the amount of buyers out there is nowhere near what it was. And the last thing I'll say is, I think what's really been holding things together is just the lack of inventory.
Right, that is the one thing that's been notable here is the inventory is just lackluster, to say the least. So if you're a seller, don't despair. But really, when you're thinking about 2 out of every 10 homes selling, we're basically saying tier one properties, those top-notch properties that are always in demand, are moving.
Yes.
But not all tier one, right? Because we're talking 2 out of every 10. So how do you make sure that you get your tier one property sold, or can you get your tier two property bumped into that sold category and beat out a tier one?
Right.
How can you do that? It takes preparation and it takes strategy.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. And the tier one is tied to the limited inventory because there's not a lot of great inventory. There's not a lot of inventory in general. So when you come on, you want to be a standout. You got to be a standout.
You have to stand out in some way, and it has to be a positive.
Okay, so the first thing you can do is start depersonalizing your space. So what do we mean by that?
What do we mean by that? Well, think about a developer show home. If you go in and you see Bob and Susan and their 3 kids, you don't imagine it as your space. You say, who's Bob and Susan?
Yeah.
And why am I in their home?
Get me out of here.
So what we mean then is you want to do that to your space before you hit the market. Remove all your personal photos.
I don't want to see your wedding photos.
Your degrees, your awards, all your knickknacks from around the world on your fridge.
I'm trying to picture myself living there.
The goal is to make the buyer see the property as their own.
Yes, 100%. So depersonalize.
Depersonalize. Make him or her do not make the potential buyer feel like a visitor in someone else's home.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So depersonalize is number one. Number two is declutter.
Again, now this is why we bring up the show home. Think of that show home. Clean lines, orderly, no signs of chaos.
Right.
In short, less is more.
You got to make space for 2 people to comfortably walk through the property because, you know, having done hundreds of open houses over the years, what you realize is
thousands.
You realize though, people come in twos. Often people will bring a friend.
If somebody's even buying for themselves, they bring a friend or a parent almost always.
Exactly. So make room for 2 people to comfortably tour the property. So clear out, any hallways. Make sure that there's that all sides of a bed, that you can walk around a bed. Make sure that there's room on the outside space or patio for people to step out on the balcony to have a look or onto the porch.
It's about making visual space.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Visual space and room to move through. And I think visual space is huge because a lot of these places that we're selling in Vancouver, they're not huge.
There's not a lot of visual space.
No, there's not a lot of visual space. And I think that is one of the most important things. So declutter, that's going to be an obvious one for people. But guess what? If you think you've decluttered, I guarantee you probably have more decluttering to do.
You know what? Take 24 hours, 48 hours, come back and go through every room again and ask yourself, is this adding or taking away from this room?
Yeah.
And you're exactly. going to clear out more.
And even if you think it's adding, it's probably not.
It's almost certainly taking away.
Yeah. So, all right. So then, and on top of that, Matt, just to pile on the declutter and the depersonalize, but clear and clean surfaces. And what we mean by that is kitchen counters should be cleared for the most part. There are exceptions, of course.
Espresso machine.
Sure. A stylish set of knives.
A cookbook open to a page with a nice recipe.
But folded like in a flowerly shape. No, we'll get to that. But the bathroom counters should be cleared with the exception of, say, a soap dispenser or hand towels, that sort of thing. Remove any debris from floors. Remove bath mats from bathrooms. That's kind of a personal pet peeve. But visual bath space, mats? Again, is... It, depends on the bath mat, but yeah, I'm going to say, especially if you have beautiful tile in your bathrooms, show off the tile.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you definitely want to remove the obvious things. Toasters. Speaking of pet peeves. And now this is often with a tenant that is potentially not interested in actually selling the space.
Right.
But what drives me crazy is toothbrushes, like as if like somebody's literally
like well used.
Yeah, well used toothbrushes on the beside the sink. And you're like, what is going on here? This is if you have any control over the circumstances, those seem obvious, but it's amazing how many people's toothbrushes I've seen over the years.
It all seems obvious when you're listening, but the fact of the matter is that 60 or 70% of the homes that we typically bring people through could be presented better.
Much better.
And let's move on to the next one. Light it up, which I haven't said since college, and then light it up some more, and then pass it on the left-hand side. But here's the thing. Replace burnt-out light bulbs and add light in dark corners or dark spaces. Absolutely.
And you know what? This is especially important for condos where certain rooms don't have a ceiling light.
Right.
Right? So often those rooms can feel quite dark, especially if you're not either living there,
sure,
or you're kind of halfway moved out or whatever, those bedrooms can feel quite dark.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say here that any of the agents that listen to the program, thanks for listening, first of all. But second of all, everyone that brings buyers through places, it's almost like a buyer is trained to look for natural light in a condo because everybody, and that's the coaching that people get from their family and their friends, make sure there's a lot of natural light because Vancouver, we all know 8-9 months of the year, we're under cloud. If you don't get it, it can be a depressing city in a lot of ways when it's raining all the time.
Now, we have some old stats here, Adam, but in 2019, Vancouver had 144 days of rain. In 2018, it was closer to 200. I would say in the first 4 months of 2022, it was every day.
Yeah.
Every single day, miserable.
Right. And this is the thing. So it's a city in search for vitamin D. And everybody is, this is why every realtor puts bright and spacious in the description, right?
In all caps.
and really, that's the key thing. People are looking for natural light. Get as much natural light as you can into your place. Of course, when we're showing, we open up all the blinds and the windows, trying to get as much light as we possibly can. But if you know that there's dark corners in your place, get some artificial lighting that can be turned on for when you are actually ready to start showing the property.
And again, in selling a place, you're dealing with objections. A couple lights from Winners or wherever you're buying them is a very small price to pay when we're talking about thousands, potentially tens of thousands, or potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. And the number one complaint will be, man, it felt dark in there. So light it up.
Right. So Adam, we've talked about depersonalizing, decluttering, cleaning countertops, lighting it up. What's next?
Neutralize art. I don't know how many times I've been into places where they just have like really dark or potentially offensive art that really becomes the topic of conversation more so than the floor plan or the beautiful views.
You know what? I feel like books have the potential for that as well.
Sure. Yeah. Art is subjective. It's open for interpretation. The best rule of thumb is to keep it as neutral and non-offensive as you possibly can. In short, and we can move on from this one because it's straightforward, but don't use art to distract from the main exhibit, which is your home.
Further to that, don't read too many interesting books and have them on the shelves. I feel like an elaborate bookshelf, I feel like has derailed, and like with good books right. or interesting books, it's derailed showings.
I think that's just you. You're...
I don't know. I feel like I talk, and it's not me. I feel like people bring up, look at this. Look at this. Interesting guy.
Computers for dummies. Who is this guy? Mirrors and reflective surfaces. This is the next one. Make small spaces feel larger. That's absolutely true. And
I love large mirrors.
Well, this is it. Yeah, exactly. Because you have body dysmorphia the opposite way of how most people do. But here's the thing. When you walk into a place, you want to, especially if it's a small condo and you've got house furniture, man, is that a tough sell.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter how beautiful the condo is. If you I love
the leather couch as much as anyone, but
we don't need any lawsuits. Don't come down on the brick.
No, you know what? Great stuff.
but often
large when it's in a one bedroom condo.
This is it. So have house furniture in a house, have condo furniture in a condo, and in smaller condos or in smaller spaces, it's nice to have either reflective surfaces or see-through surfaces, coffee tables, that sort of thing, just to give more visual space or to reflect lighting or reflect more space, like mirrors help, of course, make spaces feel larger. And that's tried and tested.
Yeah. I mean, basically what you're talking about is making small spaces feel larger and that goes a long way. Next up, Adam, everybody wants to know how deep that closet is.
Right.
Whether the door's closed or not, they're going in.
Yeah. And I get that. That's like the number one question we get when people list their places. Are people going to be looking in my closets? And the answer is yes.
Yes. The answer is yes.
And so if you have a 2-foot closet, which most people do, you just want to make sure that a potential purchaser looks at the storage and they think it's sufficient. So this is a great time to declutter, to give old clothes to... you know, the Sally Ann.
Is that what they still call it?
I love to recommend to people to use the vacuum sealed bags that you can get from Home Depot. If you have a storage bed, you can put sweaters, winter clothing, that sort of thing under your actual bed, which is great. Or just under a bed in general, you can put stuff there. Or even just leave the vacuum sealed bags in the closet, but push them kind of deep so they're out of sight. But the reality is that closets should be about 60% full and 40% empty at most.
Yeah, you don't want overstuffed closets. You definitely don't want somebody decluttering the main room and jamming it in the closet.
Right.
Those spaces are investigated by buyers and they're interpreted. Yeah. And if you have a lot of stuff and it's rammed into the closet, or if you just have a lot of clothes and it looks like it's overstuffed with clothes, the general impression is, maybe this space isn't large enough.
Or these guys are bursting at the seams and there's only two of them and there's two of us or whatever, right? But if you do have storage, Matt, the next one is it's okay to have storage. Just make sure that it's organized.
Right. Yeah, Adam, it's definitely okay to have storage. Just remember when you're thinking about your storage and organizing all of your storage, just remember that you're trying to create a life that people wish they had. So orderly, people expect people to have storage, that's obvious.
Right.
Stuff in storage, golf clubs, winter clothes, whatever it is. But just, again, moving away from that bursting at the seams, chaos, orderly storage is best.
Yeah, and I always recommend people go and get, if they don't have any Tupperware or storage boxes, that they go and get some, because a lot of the miscellaneous small items can just be tucked away, obviously in a decorative box or a storage box of some kind. And it just makes everything look neat and organized, which it all helps.
So we're talking storage has been organized. Closets have been taken care of. We've added some mirrors. We've added some light. We've taken down the obnoxious art. We've cleaned surfaces. We've decluttered. We took down the family photos. What's next? Let's move to the bedroom. specifically the bed.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving to the bedroom, a good friend of the show always says, make the bedroom as romantic as you possibly can. And that doesn't mean,
heart-shaped bed.
Heart-shaped bed.
And, mirrors on the ceiling.
And rose petals. But here's the thing. Mirrors on the ceilings. Here's the thing. You can make the bed feel like an inviting space that both men and women will both equally enjoy. So, I mean, I think some decorative pillows, some art,
A stylish throw,
some mirrors, just make it look a good example. And we've used this example on the show before, but really think of a hotel. Think of really just a stylish hotel and how enticing that bedroom.
I feel like you walk into a hotel, you almost immediately lie on the bed.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's very inviting.
It's very, very inviting. Think of a hotel.
Next up, we're moving right along to the bathroom. How do you deal? Now, we've already talked about toothpaste
and clearing the vanity, organizing the drawers and the medicine cabinets, removing the bath mat. I also think, so spa up the bathroom is the key here. You know, white fluffy towels or fluffier cozy looking towels, the type of towel that you see and you're like, I want to wrap myself in that. That's a good towel. Hand towels, a nice soap dispenser, you know, making sure that you organize the shower niche or around the tub. Think luxurious, think spa. That's what you want to be thinking. When you're looking at your bathroom, that's what you want to be thinking is spa.
Moving right along, Adam, to the outdoor space. Now, not every place has outdoor space, but most often we're dealing with a patio or some sort of garden. How are we approaching that?
Like a dreamlike refuge, Matt.
I was waiting for that.
I think you need to make a sanctuary.
Is that like a sanctuary but with sun?
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. We'll remind people that it's sun drenched. You just make it look like it's
a sanctuary
and well used. But all joking aside, you can dress up a patio with plants, with size appropriate lounging furniture or a bistro table. You can definitely, if you're in a house or a townhouse, you know, you want to make sure that you've pulled all the weeds, you've cut the grass, you've trimmed the hedges. You're making it, again, a very manicured, organized space.
The fact of the matter is it goes back to how people imagine themselves living, and outdoor space plays a very important role, especially in a place like Vancouver where it's often limited,
right?
And very limited. So if you have it, dress it up, make it as appealing as possible. Likewise with balconies, right? Balconies are very important to people, and it's not that expensive to make it inviting.
We've spent a lot of money in the past decade or so on pressure washing, and we've done that for a reason. It rains a lot in this city. You want to have a clean, inviting space for people, regardless of what time of the year.
So this is a list. A laundry list here of things to do for basically anyone. Let's move on to some upgrades that add a little bit of value. First off, minor blemishes.
Yeah, Matt, sales is handling objections, plain and simple. I don't really, if your property is beat up or if you have some wear and tear, just normal wear and tear, have it fixed. And we have, you know, shout out to Michael who does all of our repairs, who's been saving our butts for a very long time. But the reality is that you should do a room by room walkthrough, and you're basically doing a deficiency report in your own home. Everything that has to be touched up prior to listing, and some of these, to give
yeah, because you're not talking, when you say deficiencies, we're not talking roof, furnace, windows.
No,
we're not talking big ticket items here.
No, I don't think it's worth doing big ticket items per se, but instead we're talking about like re-caulking the tub, regrouting tiles if need be, or at least cleaning these items, fixing that hole in the wall or making the tracks on the closet doors run smoothly, WD-40 in the hinges, painting any kind of yellowish stains from a potential leak that's not active but happened a long time ago. I'm just making visually the space appear like it's as a newer property or a meticulously maintained property.
Right, exactly. So repairing minor blemishes, Adam, in any home is important. People touring around are always looking for reasons not to buy, especially sure. in a market like this. The same thing applies in the townhome or single family market, but we're talking about the exterior.
Yeah, the curb appeal. And I just want to quickly go back because the only thing is everybody wants to buy the car that grandma drove to church on Sundays. Just to kind of summarize the repairing minor blemishes, make your house look gently lived in. Like make it look like that house that was driven once a week, right?
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about curb appeal to the masses. In real estate, the front of your house is the absolute first impression, right? And you'll hear countless people talk about how I've walked by this house 100 times. I've always loved this house, right? People fall in love with the character of the home or the exteriors.
Right.
And
front door is important.
Well, yeah, the front of the house is important. The front door is important. Everything's important, but you got to make your house pop for sure. And there's different ways to do that. But what a lot of people will do is they'll paint the trim or touch up the paint. They'll make this door a statement color, which happens a lot in this city. Maybe changing out the mailbox, something that's stylish, or updating the house numbers. Consider outdoor furniture or looking at your house and kind of taking an inventory of the outdoor space and basically indicating how people can use that space. So if there's a place that is a great place for, you know, a bistro table, put a bistro table there. But basically show people how to use your yard, and that can really help with the curb appeal as well. Create a clear path to your door. Deal with any tripping hazards or safety issues, you know, and again, like before, like we talked about, make sure everything is well manicured.
I feel like when I bought my home, one of the key selling features was the neighbor's garden.
Right.
I mean, our place was a bit of a disaster when we went and saw it, but literally, I mean, it just goes to show curb appeal. It was almost like, okay, we're dealing with a house here that's a little bit underwhelming, but look at what we could do.
Yeah.
And well, it was just luck of the draw. But
right.
I remember that being that, and the fact that there was one of those leave a book, take a book
mailboxes.
Libraries on the street
yeah.
were the two things that kind of made us think, I want to be on the street.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't think your seller did either of those, but just by chance.
No, there was tarps on the roof of the house I bought.
Yeah. Well, that's
but
save,
it was
save
keeping,
that for the how to it, find
it,
a deal.
It was keeping the water out.
Yeah.
So last thing, Adam, we've talked now about minor blemishes on the inside, curb appeal on the outside. Maybe last before we move on here,
I have two more. You only have one.
Wait, but, I want to talk about modern accessories. So
yeah.
these are the little things that you may not notice day in, day out, but that you can do to make changes that are not very expensive that can really modernize your space. Things like replacing the hardware on your cabinets.
Or light fixtures.
Yeah, look, often you'll notice really dated cabinets, and the most egregious part is the hardware.
Sure.
Which is also the cheapest to replace.
Right.
And that goes a long way. So go through and kind of take an inventory of dated accessories that
yep.
you can easily modernize, light fixtures, hardware. These are inexpensive ways to modernize your home.
Stylish lighting goes a long way. If you can change out the pendant lights, or if you can add a new dining room fixture, there, you know, it definitely goes a long way. And I would say most importantly, kind of in the living space, and then also the bathrooms. It's key to have good lighting and modern lighting, or lighting that ties into the style of the home for sure. So definitely consider all the modern accessories. Last but not least, and this is something that we do before we show any property, but I just want to highlight it because I think it's one of the most important things that we've added to our rollout of listings. And then we'll talk a little bit about timelines, but having a company and most companies that do this well, I'll warn you, are not cheap. And we're talking about cleaning. We're talking about professionally cleaned, but it's not getting a cleaner through the way like a weekly clean that a family might have a cleaner. It's like
it's usually not cleaning yourself.
No, it's not cleaning yourself. It's getting professionals to come in and do what's called a move out clean. And that means that they're basically, it's right down to like wiping around the food in your fridge level clean, right? Like they're cleaning the appliances, they're cleaning the grout, they're cleaning, everything is going to be, you know, clean is subjective. What these guys basically do is they take out the subjectivity of it. Like they make it so that nobody's going to think your place is dirty.
So this is the move out clean when you're getting ready for market. Great piece of advice. Now, you mentioned that's something we do. I think there's a bunch of people out there listening that are going, wow, this is a great list, but kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, like each one of these things seems quite simple.
It's actually not overwhelming though when you're doing it.
And it's also worth noting, get in touch with a good realtor beforehand because they can help you through this. Like we have a staging consultant where a lot of these things, the depersonalize, the declutter.
It's a list given to you. Yeah.
What you can do to enhance your bathroom. She's an objective person who does this day in, day out.
Right.
For a living. And she comes through. So this
is... we have a handyman on retainer. This is it's a very different experience working with a team that looks for these specifics. And I will say, and I'm not trying to plug our services, but what I will say is that if you hire an agent, these are the types of... The amount of... I'm going to read a quote here. Let me just put it this way. If, Matt...
This is a great quote.
Yeah,
this is a great quote.
I got to find
it. Actually, I think this is... In your workshop,
I didn't write it.
In your workshop as well, though, you have this.
I have this hanging over my
something you're going to drill into your two girls.
My
but
woodshop.
Please read it.
Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. And that's
was that Bill Shakespeare?
That was Abraham Lincoln. And you know what I love about that is like the key to a successful rollout is that. We get it. Sometimes people have to rush to get on the market and you can move pretty quick on this stuff. But the upfront prep work is going to get a way better result every single time.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
As a final prep subject to broach here. You know, we mentioned cleaners.
Right.
We mentioned a staging consultant.
Yep.
What about staging in Vancouver? Because obviously staging is potentially part of the preparation. A lot of people look at staging and they say, $3,000, $3,500. Oh my God.
$5,000
and
or whatever
it's going to be $800 ongoing month after month if this isn't selling.
Yeah. And those are mostly condo prices, like in that kind of $5,000 rate. And you can spend a lot of money on staging, but here's the simple reality. Vancouver and Toronto are staging markets. They are. And you just have to wrap your head around that. Our real estate's too expensive here. You can leave a ton of money on the table if you don't make sure your property shows as well as it could. And it doesn't mean that you pull all your furniture out and put it in storage. You can do what's called a partial stage. And you know what? Maybe even the stager will use your furniture if you have beautiful furniture, beautiful art.
And bring in some pieces.
Or just complimentary pieces. Maybe there won't be any rentals at all. But if you're not doing a staging consultation, you just have to. You just have to bring somebody through. If even one good idea comes out of that meeting, it's worth the time. It's worth the effort. And it might be as small as, you know, this mirror should go on this side of the room or whatever.
Well, and you know what? And you think about it, you're going to have a host of people through during showings, during open houses.
Right.
I often think of the staging consult is just somebody that would be walking through that knows exactly what it should look like, who's willing to give you those ideas and take it or leave it. You know, if you get 30 ideas and like you said, you use one, it's definitely worth having that. And two last things about staging that we like. One is a good stager can see potential negatives of a property and detract from those areas. So they can move the eye away from blemishes or awkward spaces
and show the a potential buyer how they can be used.
Sure.
It's an art and a science.
I would rather spend money on staging than updates. A lot of people think, should we redo the kitchen? And I'd rather, I think it's incredible what staging can do in, say, an original condition unit that's 20, 30 100%. Years old. If you use modern, beautiful furniture to detract from the original cabinetry or whatever, it is phenomenal what staging can do. And all you have to do is look online at before and after photos of staged properties. They've done countless studies that prove that staging gets you more money. And the ROI is really good on staging. But the other thing, I would say two more things actually about staging is, one is it's really great for teaching people how to use the space or putting ideas about what rooms can be used for. We've said this on the podcast before, but we've actually had buyers walk into, and I mean, it's not that hard to imagine people doing this, but walk into a bedroom that doesn't have a bed in there and say, oh, what is this room? Is this a den or what is this?
Does a bed even fit in here?
Yeah. Or does a bed even fit in here? It's like, well, don't have that. Don't create that conversation. Put a bed in there.
Right.
Right. Especially because almost every time a bed does fit in there, someone's just overthinking the size of a bed. Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, I think that's a key condition. The other thing about staging is if you have a vacant unit, it's always a good idea to stage it, because vacant units, again, not everybody's spatially gifted. A lot of people think that empty spaces feel smaller than they actually are. And getting furniture and the right size furniture in there can help considerably in terms of showing off the property.
You know, you mentioned giving people ideas on how to use the space or showing them how to use the space. This makes me think of, I don't think it was staged, but a one bed at Strathcona Village that had a full bar in the bedroom.
A full bar?
A full bar.
Okay. Like don't bring up my property on the show. But if you're
a bar goes in here.
Is that, was there actually a bed in there?
Yeah. A bed and a full bar. Holy. I think it was quite a bachelor pad.
what gave you that idea? Let's talk about, like, so just here, maybe we should just pop back over these very quickly, just as a summary, too long don't read summary maybe.
Right.
But number one for what you want to do is you want to depersonalize. Two was declutter. Three was clear, clean surfaces. Four was light it up. Five was neutralize art. Six was mirrors and reflective surfaces can make small spaces feel larger. Seven was closets should be 60% full, 40% empty at most. Eight was organize your storage. Nine was make your bed look like a hotel bed. 10 was spa up the bathroom. 11 was make your patio or landscaping feel like a dreamlike refuge.
A sanctuary.
A sanctuary, some might say. 12 was repair minor blemishes. And what was 13, Matt? I'm just trying to think.
13
here.
Was curb appeal. Appeals 13, to the masses, paint yep. the trim, touch up the paint. You gave a host of others.
And last but not least, 14 was consider adding modern accessories, whether it's hardware on the cabinetries or light fixtures, etc. And last but not least was 15, which is book a move out clean. It'll be money well spent.
That's an extensive list. And then we had a deep meditation on staging.
We did have a deep meditation on staging. Last but not least, there's got to be at least a takeaway in here for somebody out there. And
we're only halfway through the show.
Not halfway through, but we do have one segment left.
Yeah, we do. So we've talked. These are things, just to summarize and conclude in a useful manner. We've already summarized. These are things we do in any market, right?
Sure.
But when 2 out of 10 homes are selling in this current market, and it is very challenging, where many buyers are very nervous and looking for reasons not to buy real estate, these are some of the ways that you can really get your property to the next level and not have those objections in which buyers are going to leave saying, I wasn't sure with all those dents in the wall that I want to move forward with that one. Everything else was great.
Right. Okay, Matt. So moving on to now the strategy when it comes to pricing.
I think we've done enough with preparation.
Yeah, exactly. And
45 minutes on prep.
Here's the thing too about the pricing strategy. We're going to talk about five things. It's not an exhaustive list, but a couple of things to keep in mind for sure.
And a lot of things are property specific.
Yeah, these are all, keep in mind that these are general ideas to help guide you, but each property needs a very specific marketing strategy. What's the value proposition?
Exactly. And it's worth pointing out, you know, we're talking primarily closer to the core, Vancouver, North Van, Burnaby.
Sure.
But sub-market's important, and it might be an entirely different proposition right now in Langley, we couldn't even say.
Yeah. And okay, so let's get through this list. We've got number one is understand your sub-market and the sub-areas, and you do that by looking at the sales ratios.
And property types, right? So
right.
We're talking sub-markets and property types. It's worth noting right now, demand has dwindled, but I think the surprising story over the last 6 to 9 months is that inventory is still down.
Right.
So a lot of the buyers we've been working with have expressed extreme frustration, especially over the summer. Depending on what they're looking for finding good product. Like they're ready to buy. It's just like there's nothing good out there.
Well, this is the thing too. When you think about an area specifically, a lot of people want to buy maybe close to their family or the area that they already rent in or that they already live in. And some of these areas, you don't see a lot of new inventory, especially if you're looking in the detached or for a specific type of property, half duplex, for example, or townhome. There's not a lot of stuff coming to market. So if you have something with in an area with low inventory where the sales ratio seems to be high, that doesn't mean you're in a bad spot at all. That means you're in a great position, and maybe that changes how you come to market.
Well, yeah, and as an overarching idea here, we're not talking about Canadian real estate. We're not even talking about Greater Vancouver real estate. When you're trying to understand where your property fits, it's working with somebody who's local and understands exactly what's going on in the submarket and is providing data about the property type you're selling, because it's the devil's in the details.
Yeah, the riches are in the niches. next up is number two. Don't look too far backwards when it comes to pricing.
This is something that I think, you know, in a softening market, sellers are the last to realize. Right.
Yeah. Buyers are way, think their property is worth more than it is.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. So buyers are generally almost often ahead of the curve almost immediately in terms of new pricing and establishing new values. Sellers are behind. You don't want to be the guy looking back at March, the guy or gal looking back at March pricing or February pricing or last November, something that seems like a good comparable sold. This is not the market to be looking too far back. You want to get ahead of the market and you want to price sharp.
In the words of one of my favorite wordsmiths, Fat Joe, yesterday's price is not today's price.
That's right. So one other thing to note about sharp pricing right now, and it goes back to the general sales ratio that we led with, 2 out of 10 homes are selling.
Right.
Okay. So all of the, cut out the noise and just think about that. 10 markets or 10 homes come to market, only 2 are going to sell. Price, no matter how much you scrub and get ready for market, price is significant. You want to stand out there and you want to be attractive.
Yeah, you want to get attention. But at the same time, you want to be very careful when it comes to bait price right now.
So can we remind, I think everybody knows bait price, but let's remind people what we mean by
bait
price.
Well, here's the thing, right? For the last 2 years or so, and depending on the market we're in, but definitely for the past, 18 months to 24 months, a lot of people have been going on for, 99 cents when they really want $1.50, right? So an artificially low price to get as many people through the doors, really busy open houses, and then a set offer date. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get multiple offers. You're trying to get, 5, 10, 15, in many cases, even higher than that offers. And you can go back to the top offers. The best news is that typically subject free kind of wins the day with deposit. And also you can really leverage people's emotion to fall in love with the property to get the price up. So that's generally speaking the strategy.
And when it comes to bait price, why it works in hot markets, of course, is obviously because there's a lot of demand. But just like I said, buyers are usually ahead of the curve.
Right.
In a falling market,
often they're ahead in a rising market as well, where somebody is willing to pay a premium to lock in a price because whatever reason they have a line on the future. But you're seeing often in rising markets pricing that doesn't reflect a comparable from 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago, that's for sure. So it works. Conversely,
right,
in a market that's softer where 2 out of 10 properties are selling, we're not seeing people with the motivation to get involved in those
in the bidding wars. And also we're seeing a lot of those bidding wars potentially fall flat right now, right? Where you end up with maybe 4 or 5 offers, but all of them have conditions and you don't see a lot of price escalation. And maybe they don't even hit what would be generally conceived of as market value.
I feel like right now, and this is anecdotally, I think, from talking with people, but also you know, one of our listings last week, I was working with a buyer where this is a case where what you're pricing it at is determined to be, okay, you know, whether you're on at, let's say, $899 or $869, if you get 2 offers, somebody might give you asking price on either of those.
Right.
But on $869, it's much rarer right now for somebody to offer you $900. They'll maybe give $1,000 over to compete if you're priced sharply, but we're not seeing the appetite for those big jumps in pricing. And if you go back to people, some people don't even want to compete and some people are not interested in increasing their offers, that's for sure.
But it's psychologically right now, you don't want to feel like you have to compete for something in a lot of cases, and you don't want to feel like you're overpaying in a market like this, right? So psychologically, buyers are pulling back. It's very difficult for somebody to really drive up a price. You know, there are rare cases happening in this market, but it's not like it was.
So at the end of the day, the price should be sharp, but you want to set the expectation. The pricing matters right now more than it did 6 months ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that sharp price should be one that you're willing to accept. Moving on to number 4, make sure you have a good feedback loop in place when you list your property.
Now,
that's often an agent.
I was going to say, this is, and you should have this in any market, right? A good feedback loop. You want to know what's going on. But in a market that's changing quite quickly and potentially not in your favor, you want to be able to correct course.
Sure.
And if you're not in fairly constant communication, you don't have the relevant information. How many calls are we getting? How many showings are we getting? What is the feedback? You don't have that information to make that call. And it's essentially sleeping at the switch.
Well, and this is the other thing too, we've talked about a lot on this show over the past 6 years, but this idea of like where the seller is so clearly chasing the market, but never quite hitting the price that they actually need to. So they're adjusting. And by the time that they adjust, that price is too high for the current market we're in. You have to be ahead of the market.
You have to be ahead of the market. You have to be aware of what's going on, which speaks to this loop. But we often talk about stigma, and this goes back to all the preparation you've presumably done by this point. Stigma is something that is very hard to deal with in a market like this, because no matter how well prepared you are, everything looks right. But wait, why does nobody want this property? So if you've missed the market a couple of times and you're on 35, 40, 60, 90 days, there's a number of buyers, especially in a softer market, that are going to give it a miss just on that alone.
Sure. And number 5, Matt, you got to still confidently control the narrative.
I feel like these strategic things we've been talking about so far are almost present as running scared. And that is not the intent.
Yeah, no, you got to be confident in your property. You got to be confident in the fact that, you know, you're a great product and that you've carefully priced your product to sell. You got to be really just confident. And a good agent should be able to help you control the narrative to the property. So for an example of that would be, you know, instead of doing 2 open houses that feel dead because there's maybe only going to be 6 or 7 buyers that come through sporadically throughout 2 days of opens, do 1 open house on a Saturday where all 7 come through and potentially see each other to suggest that you're getting good activity. But there's different ways to actually improve how you're perceived on the market.
Exactly. And keep in mind, I mean, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there right now, but the inventory is low.
Yes.
The inventory is always lackluster in Vancouver. It's just the nature of this city. And you hear it all the time in this business. I know what I have. Remember, you own a property in a very desirable city, and that is, you're in the driver's seat for the most part, and make sure that you present that way.
Yeah. And no one in this room is scared. That's for sure.
Last but not least, and I think this speaks to controlling the narrative, be accommodating, cooperative, but not desperate.
Yeah, exactly. And now let's talk a little bit about timelines, because we're moving into, I think, hour two of this podcast. So thinking about timelines, really, if you had a few considerations about how to roll out a listing, let's just go through this list. I think it's all pretty self-explanatory. A lot of people, and we're included in this camp, take the strategy of launching on a Monday or a Tuesday if Monday is a holiday. And you want to go live on MLS during business hours. There have been countless studies that show that people at work are looking,
especially
at,
if they're working from home.
Yeah.
These are my own observations.
And that's only going up now that people are quiet quitting. So avoid long weekends or popular travel periods to launch listings. Obviously, you're not going to get as many eyeballs on a brand new listing, which is really your biggest moment. Like when you go live, that's the moment.
And you only get one chance to make a first impression.
That's true. Try to avoid launching during stressful times for yourself at home or at work, or when you have visitors coming to town. That's never a good situation where you're trying to do the open and you've got, your
Aunt
cousin
Sally in the den.
Yeah. Cousin Tom on the couch, Uncle Matt on the floor. launch at a time when you can be flexible around showings and open houses. And of course, if it's a tenanted property, which always there's a lot of tenanted properties that are being marketed in Vancouver, provide ample notice to tenants and any decision makers on showings so that it runs smoothly.
Now, Adam, we have a document called the Sold Plan, Start on Launch Date,
yeah,
that basically walks you through 3 weeks until launch, 2 weeks until launch, 1 week until launch. I think we've given a lot of information here today about how you should go about preparing your property for market today and some strategic considerations for pricing.
The Five Wire is brought to you by Scalina Real Estate.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Scalina Real Estate is a full-service real estate company serving Vancouver, offering comprehensive, tried and tested buyer and seller systems.
With over a decade in the top 10% of realtors in the Lower Mainland and a perfect 5-star Google review, Scalina Real Estate can help with all your real estate needs.
We also have an extensive network of the best industry professionals and trades right across the country.
There's no reason to not get in touch. Head over to scalinarealestate.com to find out more. But in a perfect world, quickly, what does the rollout look like?
Well, if you think about it, if you have, you know, time and you're kind of, you're getting ready, say you're about 3 weeks out, first thing you want to do is you want to pick your launch date and work your way backwards. That's why this document that we have is called Start on Launch Date, because you're really working your way back from a date that you select. So say, for example, you pick a date, a Monday, that is the launch date 3 weeks from now. 3 weeks out from the launch, you want to be meeting with your agent to discuss goals, doing a walkthrough of the property. You want to be going over a comparative market analysis, which is how we figure out pricing, and updating that comparative market analysis, because it's always a living, breathing thing as the market shifts. You want to be putting together your pricing strategy then and signing any listing agreements, getting paperwork ready, of course, ordering strata documents, things like that, so that they'll be around on time and that you have time prior to review strata documents or any property documents.
There's nothing worse in a market like this where if you're not holding off on offers, you potentially get two or three groups interested even before the weekend, and somebody potentially is going to put a very short subject date or subject free, and they say, just send the strata documents over, and the agent doesn't have those documents. And it's like, all right, well, you're not selling this property right now because literally you're just not prepared.
Right, exactly. Or they're missing a document. Make sure that all your ducks are in a row. You want to handle objections up front. 2 weeks out until launch, you're looking at a staging consultation, decluttering, making sure that the home is show ready. Obviously, it depends how much stuff you have in your property. This might need to be like a 2 month out thing, but typically for condos and people that are thinking about or have already started this process, this is when you want to double down on basically getting the decluttering, getting all the preparation done. You want to discuss your showing schedules, complete the minor repairs and touch-ups. This is when most agents are probably organizing a floor plan to make sure that they've got the square footage maximized and correct. And then 1 week out, you've got your home professionally cleaned, professional photography, professional videography, Matterport if required. You're signing off on all the marketing copy, and you're establishing how you're going to be handling offers. If you're going to be signing what we call a DRPO or a direction regarding presenting offers, and just how to move forward.
And it goes without saying, Adam, in this 3 week launch period, start on launch date, photos matter, videos matter, floor plan matters, all of these things that, again, in other markets, potentially you can put a doghouse on with an iPhone photo and it's still going to get 10 offers. That's not the case right now. 2 out of 10, I repeat, 2 out of 10 homes are selling right now.
Yeah.
You want...
Not the time to skimp on photos and video.
No, absolutely not. You want to make sure that whoever you're working with is proper edit, is properly marketing your property.
Yeah, Matt. Well, I think that wraps it up. Let's go to the outro.
So there you have it, folks. That is a bunch of information brought to you by yours truly.
I was there too. Adam. By yours truly. Adam was there too. Here's the thing. That was action packed. It was a lot of information. If your head is spinning right now, and you know, you're thinking about, I want this in a concise form. Well, ask for the sold plan. It goes out, the start on launch date plan. It's a one pager document that has a lot of the information that we talked about. You can also go to the site. We have everything from cleaning lists to the preparation lists. We have it all there. It's all part of the sold plan. Get in touch. And you should be on the Fivewire, because there's a one-click button on the Fivewire.
One-click button on the Fivewire.
That will get you the sold plan. So.
That's right. So are we already doing the website?
Yeah, let's go straight to the website, Matt.
Okay, so this is VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is where all things real estate related live. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for the Livewire. This is where you can get the sold plan, one click away for all this information. You can also get access to VIP pre-sales. You can also get the running tally of the shows. You know, some people I find don't listen every single show.
Right.
And they don't check in on Apple Podcast.
I'm shocked.
But they look at the Livewire.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, Mike Bucci was on the show? I got to hear this.
Right. Right.
So it's a great running tally of what's going on, not only on the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast, but in Vancouver real estate more generally. And of course, we also have private client services.
Because Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. You should also follow us on Instagram. And the reason I'm saying that is because we're posting a lot more. We did an interesting, what would you call that? A poll?
I'm not even sure.
It wasn't an official poll. You're not on Instagram very much, but I did a poll on who's going to win this upcoming election, Kennedy Stewart or Ken Sim. And I think it's expired, but it was a very...
Who won?
Ken Sim.
By how much?
But we might be
an echo chamber. What was the percentage?
I think it was like roughly a 75-25 split.
So here's... I just told you this. I got my hair cut the other day. Because I feel like the fear is we're in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
And
so you're at Singleton's. Is that where you were?
I was in the strip mall.
Yeah.
No, but I
bunch of 6 year olds and you.
The election came up, and this was a good cross section of Vancouver. And I feel like, man, that Mario Canseco poll where Kennedy Stewart was in the lead, I brought it up. No one could believe it. No one there was voting for him.
And to be fair, though, I would say that your salon, barbershop, whatever you call it.
I think it's a hair salon.
Hair salon. It's in Gastown, right? An area that's been beat up in the city. And I just wonder.
But the people that work there, and the owner was there as well, and they don't live in the neighborhood. Like, West End has been, they've had a rough couple of years.
I don't know. It's weird. It's the echo chamber thing. Are you hearing?
But we would be saying now, just to, if somebody's in Yale Town,
right?
If somebody's in the West End, if somebody's in Gastown, if somebody's in Chinatown, if somebody's potentially in Kits, like, it's like, where does it end? Where does the echo chamber end?
Yeah. I hang out with a lot of people in the hair industry. So that's me specifically. I guess the one thing is Instagram's got the stuff that we're thinking and talking about on it. Follow us on Instagram. The other thing is we're going to be doing, we've got shirts coming in like the next 1 to 7 days. It's a moving
I'm
target.
I'm excited about this.
We've got the Build More Housing shirt coming and the Live from Kokomo Studios shirt coming. Two fantastic shirts. I posted them on Instagram.
We're also looking for models.
Feedback.
We're looking for models.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has nothing to do with the shirt. No, I'm just kidding. never mind. Check us out on Instagram. It's super exciting. And we're going to be giving away prizes. And you can imagine mugs and shirts. We got a lot of them. So reach out and there'll be some upcoming stuff to get your own shirt. We have hundreds of these coming.
Yeah, hundreds.
I'm my whole wardrobe. It's going to be just like the Inspector Gadget.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited about these shirts. It's going to be great. If you want to talk about that, the sold plan, potentially marketing a property or anything else, give me a call at 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you could try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We also got the Kokomo line, as always, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, guys, and we're back with some more great content next week.
Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.